Can accounting save the world and your company? As we record this podcast, the World Economic Forum is convening again in Davos. The forum just published its global risk report, which finds that environmental risks make up half of the top 10 risks over the next 10 years. Climate change remains one of the most urgent challenges confronting boards and their oversight capacity. How can boards improve the oversight of climate-related risks? And what does accounting have to do with it? I'm delighted to speak with Mike Mahoney, the CEO of eLiability Institute, a global non-profit organization advancing accounting upgrades to drive green innovation and reduce carbon emissions. In November 2021, Professor Bob Kaplan of Harvard Business School and Professor Karthik Ramanan from the University of Oxford published a prize-winning paper, Accounting for Climate Change, which debuted the eLiability concept. The Institute helps entities pilot this approach and shares their results widely to improve carbon accounting. Now, as a podcast series, we are delighted to bring basically academic ideas into the mainstream and help to foster the dialogue about new concepts. Prior to joining the Institute, Mike was a partner at Tapestry Networks, where he worked with hundreds of non-executive directors of the largest North American and European companies for over a decade. Welcome to the Better Boards podcast series. I'm Dr. Sabine Demkowski, founder and managing partner of Better Boards. We make the boards of the most ambitious organizations more effective. Our mission at Better Boards is to contribute to creating better boards. We do this by providing clients with an evidence-based approach for board evaluations and board development programs. Better Board clients have access to an innovative digital platform that provides data and comparisons on all dimensions of effective boards, and they can use the platform for their internal as well as part of their external evaluation. To fulfill our mission, we give a voice to all who care about creating better boards. Mike, thank you so much for contributing to the Better Boards podcast series.
Sabine, I'm delighted to be here with you today.
We have a pretty interesting topic today. So let's jump straight into it. Why does climate change remain one of the top risks on the board agenda?
Well, Sabine, climate change isn't a new topic. It's been discussed for years in the context of ESG and sustainability. But let's focus on the fact that investors say that climate change poses one of the largest sources of financial risk to companies and their asset owners. Yeah. Financial risk could manifest in many ways, including changes in climate policy by regulators or policymakers, changes in market demand motivated by climate concerns, or physical risks resulting from events like floods or wildfires or storms. Significant exposure to these risks can result in lower productivity from resulting from new climate policies, lower margins from higher energy and commodity prices, or business disruption from new technologies or trade barriers impacting supply chains. Risk is often the flip side of opportunity as well. Companies can develop and sustain competitive risk and competitive advantage in how it more effectively mitigates these risks, or how through its products and services, it can help its customers mitigate these risks. These are important strategic issues for management and the board, and that's why it remains a top risk for boards.
When we look at the last years, a lot of companies have put in an awful lot of efforts and publish an annual sustainability report. And many have announced targets to become net zero by, let's say, 2050. The boards hear regular updates from management on decarbonization strategies and sustainability activities. Isn't this enough? Isn't this working?
Narrative reports on company initiatives to reduce its carbon emissions are nice, but hardly rigorous enough to provide oversight over climate risk. Mm-hmm. Many companies announced aspirational targets to reduce carbon emissions without a clear plan to do so, let alone clear management and an accounting approach to track progress and hold the company accountable. Climate risk can and should be measured and analyzed like financial risk. You take nothing more from this podcast than that statement. That would be, I think, the most important takeaway. Companies need to understand the carbon intensity of their operations and that of their suppliers. By measuring and reducing its carbon emissions per unit of output, the company is quantitatively reducing its climate risk exposure. But most companies use approaches to carbon accounting that are based on carbon disclosure requirements that aren't fit for purpose to analyze and mitigate climate risk. And as emissions continue to grow around the world, the system simply isn't working.
So what's really wrong with the current approach to climate-related measurement and accounting?
To comply with the EU Corporate Sustainability Reporting Directive, companies are required to report their greenhouse gas protocol scope 3 emissions. What does that mean? Companies report the carbon emissions from their own operations and estimate the emissions produced in the entirety of their supply chain all the way through the ultimate downstream use of their product or service. This approach is problematic for several reasons. First, these estimates are often highly inaccurate and count the same emissions many times over at each step of the value chain. In most cases, the emissions data are based on industry averages for a given product and not the actual emissions. The result is that emissions disclosures that are compliant, but they're highly distorted. It becomes difficult to identify opportunities to reduce emissions and ultimately reduce climate risk. If management uses industry averages for its own emissions or accepts industry averages from its suppliers, how will it find ways to reduce emissions? The incentives for decarbonization are destroyed. These disclosures cannot be audited to a fair and true standard, like financial statement audits. Instead, auditors can offer limited assurance, which is not what investors and increasingly regulators and other stakeholders expect from companies. From the board's perspective, a limited assurance audit isn't giving much comfort to the board that the disclosures are free from error or fraud. So this is just a couple of examples of why the current approaches to measurement and accounting aren't working for companies and their boards.
I mean, this is pretty specific know-how, what you share with us on this podcast. So what questions should board members be asking about climate-related measurement and accounting?
So I'm going to suggest 6 questions, Sabine, and then maybe a suggestion for management and board members. And these are all about how is the company and how is management thinking about measurement and accounting of climate-related and emissions data. So first question, how does management measure and account for emissions from its own operations and from its suppliers? What's its methodology? That's a fairly straightforward question. Number 2 is how is management moving to improve the quality and accuracy of emissions data by using more primary direct data and reduce reliance on industry average data, making it more vendor and product specific. 3, how is management using this data to identify opportunities to reduce emissions in the company's operations? 4, how are emissions that are embodied in the products and services that the company buys? How is that considered, the emissions considered in procurement decisions and in the context of other procurement elements like cost, quality, performance, etc.? 5, what's the role of finance organization and internal audit team with respect to emissions measurement and accounting? How are the people, processes, and IT systems evolving to support robust carbon accounting that are already in many cases in place for robust financial accounting? And finally, 6, what kind of external assurance is being done on this emissions data? If it's only limited assurance, what's the pathway to a fair and true attestation of these emissions disclosures? So those are my 6 questions that I think any board member should be asking of management to better assess the state of how the company is measuring its emissions, and more importantly, what limitations and how the company needs to be evolving down a path to improve its measurement and accounting. So in that spirit, I want to offer a suggestion, because these questions may cause some discomfort by on the part of management, not having good answers to some of these questions, and that is to learn a bit more about e-liability accounting. So if you'll indulge me, I'll just say a few words about an alternative approach we are advocating. E-liability is an accounting algorithm that allows organizations to produce real-time, accurate, and auditable data on their total direct and supplier emissions, and for those of any of its products and services. It is a simple, open source, free to use set of principles that should be the basis of any sound accounting standards. Our approach produces for every product and service in the economy an accurate and auditable measure of its total cradle to gate carbon footprint. This allows every purchaser, whether a company acquiring a batch of cement, a consumer buying a movie on their tablet, or a green investor looking for the next project, to measure the total carbon emitted into the atmosphere creating that specific product or delivering that specific service. This accounting approach is based on financial and cost accounting principles that we've used for hundreds of years. Instead of accounting for costs, we're accounting for carbon. The company's carbon disclosure should look like an inventory footnote for carbon. The Institute is working with dozens of companies around the world to pilot adoption, software firms like SAP to support enterprise-wide scaling, and audit firms to be able to provide a fair and true audit. That's my suggestion to management and the board.
Now, Mike, your six questions are very concrete and very practical. And behind the Institute are very well-known professors. But you face probably some headwind from some of the big accounting firms and some of the other firms. So it's not all smooth sailing, I would think.
Well, if I didn't have challenges, Sabine, then it would make life boring. Actually, the accounting firms and the software firms are quite excited about this approach because it looks so much to them like financial accounting, because these two renowned accounting professors started with financial accounting principles. So for them, this looks quite familiar. This is something that makes a lot of sense. And it's an interesting question of sort of how do we get critical mass to drive adoption? And that's where pilot adoption of these principles really makes a lot of sense. So we've worked with, for example, organizations like Tata Steel, who are keen to make lower carbon emission steel, but they were blind to understand what are the real emissions going into the different ways that we could make steel, and how could we show that we were making lower emission steel to our customers? By piloting e-liability, they discovered things that they thought that were green were not, and vice versa. It's really important for an organization like Tata Steel, being in the steel sector, to get the emissions data right and accurate, because there's now a significant consequence with the evolution of the Carbon Border Adjustment Mechanism, or CBAM. If you are viewed, because perhaps the industry average for a kilogram of steel is quite high, manufactured in India, you're going to be subject to a major tariff, and your customers are going to find that your steel is no longer competitive. So trade barriers may become quite important to sort of accelerate adoption to this approach.
So what do you think should, particularly the audit committees, what should they do really differently? Well, if there is one thing they should do differently in 2024, which is when we record this podcast, what do you think? What would be a good starting point?
So if I were an audit committee member, audit committee chair, I would focus on assurance and attestation. And how is management moving the reporting and use of emissions data from, at best, a limited assurance approach to a fair and true audit? Ultimately, as the audit committee, we're responsible for what we are disclosing, and the regulator is going to hold us accountable. We need a fair and true audit in order for us to be confident and for management executive team to be confident that there won't be any concerns about the quality of this data. And that's something that is missing from current accounting approaches that companies have got to make progress towards. This approach that I've described with e-liability is one way to do that. And I think if I were the audit committee, I would be focusing on how do we move our disclosures in a direction so that we can get to that, as the C likes to say, SX quality of disclosure. That's the part of the financial statement that is audited by the external auditor, as opposed to SK, which is the part of the financial disclosures that are sort of management narrative. The expectation is if you're putting out numbers, that these numbers have been audited to the higher standard. How is the company evolving to meet that higher standard? That's where I would really focus.
No, thank you so much, Mike. Of course, we could go into so many details, but one of the things we want to do with this podcast is, of course, to inspire, to contribute to a dialogue in the community. So at the end, there's always the same question, which is, what are the three things, Mike, our listeners should take away from this podcast?
Number one, climate risk is financial risk, and companies and their boards should manage as such. Climate risk can be quantified, measured, and mitigated. It can represent a strategic opportunity for competitive differentiation so long as the company's claims for differentiation can be audited and are meaningful to its customers. So think about climate risk differently. Number two, it matters how the company does its carbon accounting. Relying on approaches that may be in compliance with regulatory requirements are no longer good enough. Management and the board need rigorous emissions accounting to understand and mitigate risks and also to seize opportunities. And finally, everyone should learn more about how companies can improve their carbon accounting by visiting e-liability.institute. There you'll find a wealth of information, including the original papers published by the two professors, Bob Kaplan and Karthik Ramana. And we would love to hear from your listeners who would be interested in learning more and even potentially exploring pilot adoption of this approach.
We really love to build a bridge between academia and boardrooms. So that is a good example, and by no means meant to be clear for our listeners to be advertisement. It is, as Mike says, one of the approaches to spark ideas, to spark a dialogue, and I hope many listeners will follow up. Thank you so, so much, Mike, for contributing to the Better Boards podcast series.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to do so, Sabine. It's been a great pleasure.
How can we help you and your board? We at Better Boards are always delighted to hear from you. You can best reach us on info@better-boards.com. Thank you so much for listening.